All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping. Whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation, that is the meal that I stick with. And you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Sorry, I've been out of pocket for a few days. I have had to go back home and visit with the old man. He's unfortunately in the hospital. My father's condition is deteriorating to a point where he's about to be on hospice. So please say a prayer for myself, my father, for my family. And before we move on to today's topic, which is going to be about UFOs and cattle mutilations and a really strange Skinwalker Ranch-ish kind of incident, I want to speak to anybody out there who's an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic, and his alcoholism is what has more or less killed him. That's what the doctors told us. Now, a lot of people won't come right out and say it, but I will say it. Alcohol is evil. It is more abused than any other type of drug out there. You are an addict if you are an alcoholic. Do not kid yourself. For many years, I have been sober, I think going on almost 5 years now, and I have tried to humbly ask my father to put down the bottle. He was a Jack Daniels guy, just like I was, and I asked him to put down the bottle, but he never did. And so because of that, he chose his addictions over his family many times. And when I say that, what I mean is when you choose your addiction over your family, over your health, you don't just harm yourself, you harm your family. An addiction quickly turns into an affliction. And with that, all different types of crazy bad stuff can happen. And you allow the enemy to move into your mind because you stay inebriated. And that's where that addiction quickly follows. I don't know how else you would say this, but it quickly follows from the interference from the enemy. Spirits, which is what, you know, liquor is, spirits will get you influenced. At a certain point of time of inebriation, you will be influenced by other spirits. And then your actions almost never are positive. If I was behind a pulpit, what I would tell the young men sitting in the crowd is that if you have a bottle, put it down, pour it out. It doesn't make you wiser. It doesn't make you more attractive. It doesn't make you cooler to be a drunk. I know for some of you out there, I just have a little sip here or there. And, you know, hey, to each his own. But the Bible specifically says, do not give in to strong drink. To not be a partaker in drunkenness. And many people who call themselves Christians go out and party like it's 1999. And for all you young guys, I too was once young and dumb. It does not help you moving forward in life to be a drunk. I mean, there's no cool points to it. There's no brownie points. I can tell you as prior law enforcement, the only points you're going to get is going to be in the criminal point system eventually, because eventually you drink enough, you're going to do something reckless, something stupid. You're going to get behind the wheel of a vehicle. You're going to shoot your mouth off to the wrong person at the wrong time, or you're going to have some sort of a medical incident, especially when you are up in the years, in the golden years, and you continue to drink as my father did. He had his 10th heart attack. Guy's a tank, just won't die. But he has assuredly killed himself because he would not stop drinking. And my daddy used to always say, no one ever told me what to do, and no one's ever going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to live my life the way I want. That foolhardy bullheadedness belongs to a particular generation of people in their 90s, 80s, 70s. My dad's 82. And, you know, like I said, to each his own. It's your life, it's your body, it's your family. But I will say this, be prepared for all you who love strong drink, be prepared for what it will do to you later down the line. Because none of us were prepared for what's happening with my dad now. It's a very expensive habit, especially after you've destroyed your liver, your kidneys, after you have crippled yourself, you stay dehydrated so much that you're not in your right mind, and dehydration affects all functions of the body. You choose to drink instead of eating. You choose to drink liquor instead of water. Well, you're going to have a medical incident. So that's what's in many of your futures right now. Should you choose not to put the bottle down? So I just wanted to get that out there to anyone who's listening, anyone who's on the fence. Oh, you know, next week I'll quit. Next year I'll sober up. And every year you stay drunk. You're killing yourself. You're hurting your families. You're not pleasing God. Not only that, but I know some men. I'm not going to say any names, but I know some men who say that I'm a man of God. God put me on this earth for a reason. I'm here to fulfill a task that the Lord has put me on. And they'll look me straight in the eye with whiskey on their breath and say that to me. Well, I'll tell you, gentlemen, you are mistaken. Because God would not put a drunkard out on the street to preach the name of his son. God would not put a man who would rather be committed to his sins than committed to walk in the path of righteousness and say, go out there and preach my word. No, sir. That's not how that works. So, as the hour is continuing to become more short, here's my final word for you, and then we'll move on. The pathway to hell is wide. Very wide. The pathway to heaven is very narrow. And if you've ever done a sobriety test, drunks can't walk in a straight line very well. So keep on drinking. Because hell will give you enough room to stumble all the way into its mouth. Because hell will give you enough room to stumble all the way into its maw. And the trap closes right after you. And you chose your sins instead of choosing salvation. I can't hold your hand, gentlemen, and make you put the bottle down. But I wasn't able to pour out the liquor and extinguish that and break that from my dad's life until he lied in his deathbed. And the last action I did was yesterday. I poured out the remaining amount of alcohol he had in his little liquor cabinet. Some of you may like that. Many of you may not. Many of you may not respect the fact that I did that. I'll tell you this much, and I completely disagree with every doctor out there who says it. But when they say you can't go cold turkey, you'll shock the system,
and they'll just relapse, or they'll have a medical incident because they have to have a certain amount of alcohol to continue through their bloodstream in order to function. When you've gotten yourself to that point, you've killed yourself. It's simple, guys. Pour out the beer. Pour out the liquor. Pour out the sin. Because you're trying to drink from the same cup that the master's handed to you, and you're just pouring the sin right into it. Think about it, guys. It's not worth it. That sin is not worth it. Because those wages of that sin, trust me, I'm watching it, is death. Okay, so today, I want to catch up on a few things that's been going on. First off, we're going to talk about some aliens and cows. Some cattle mutilation stuff. And then we're going to get into a case that I am just now being made aware of. I'm not a ufologist, but I do try to follow much of the phenomena. But we're going to try to peel back that first and second layer of the onion on the Ripperston Farmhouse event. This event happened in Britain, I believe Wales. There's a whole area within Wales that is apparently a UFO hotspot, well known. And the Ripperston Farmhouse seems to be their version of the Skinwalker Ranch, just without the Native American attachment to it. So we'll save that for a little bit later, and then we'll see what we get into. Right now, let's listen to this 5-minute, 35-second long interview with Tucker Carlson. Now, I found this on Strange Earth. It's on a Reddit subchat. And let's just hear what Tucker has to say about all of his knowledge and experience in investigating this entire new UFO outbreak that's happened in America, especially with the government coming out with all of its different documents. Let's hear what Tucker has to say about this.
And it was only in the past 5 years when this evidence would emerge, and they're like, well, that's not true. It doesn't seem true. I don't know what the truth is, but I can tell when someone's lying. It's my one gift. And I would see these people lying. I'd be like, why are they lying? I know they're lying, but why? And so I really came to this, like, at the age of 50. That's very late. It's like, I never for a second thought UFOs.
What changed your attitude at 50?
Evidence.
Which is what?
Well, the Pentagon was required by the last defense authorization bill to, like, produce some of their files on UFOs, and it turns out they have known about this since the end of the Second World War, which ended in 1945. Been a huge increase during the war as well. Huge increase in UFO sightings, in UFO crashes, and it turns out the federal government has been tracking this for 80 years and lying about it. So why? Well, that's a great question. I can't answer it. Theories, but I don't know. But here's what I learned. The first question is this real, or am I just being a crazy person spending too much time on the internet? Well, this summer, we got a call. We didn't reach out. This person called us. Lexi, who's standing right there, she's a genius, one of our producers, gets this call from this guy who's a tenured Stanford Medical School professor. And he wants to come on the show. Now, this guy has a couple of patents, and so he's rich. And he's got tenure at one of the most prestigious schools in the world. So, like, he's not a flake. He comes on, and he's like, 11 years ago, the U.S. government reached out to me because I'm an expert on head injuries, on brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries. As a physician, they had all these court cases from families of U.S. servicemen, over 100, who'd been killed by UFOs. The Department of Defense was refusing to give them death benefits or medical benefits. And he's like, so they're in the courts. And I was like, there are over 100 servicemen killed by UFOs? Like, what? He's like, yeah. And there are court cases about it. I'm like, why isn't this on the front page of the New York Times? I don't know. But he goes, I'm involved in it. I'm one of the researchers, I'm an expert witness in these cases. Well, shit, what does that mean? And he's like, for example, UFOs appear to be attracted, for whatever reason, to nuclear energy. So at nuclear missile bases in the upper Midwest, for example, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, nuclear-powered submarines are all getting buzzed by these objects, including underwater. And in a number of cases, these things have landed on military bases, including famously in Germany, West Germany in the 70s. And servicemen have approached them. Like, what is this thing? There's this like giant glowing thing on the base. And they approach and they get traumatic brain injury. Like they are rendered.
Yeah, yeah.
They get brain damage or they're killed. And he studied their brains. And they have, this is all totally real. This is not, this is the Department of Defense, dude. And they've all had this damage from some kind of powerful energy that we cannot identify. So then this guy's like, wow, he's just a scientist. He never believed in UFOs. He's like, this is real. I cannot believe this is real. This is like, great. You should start doing research on it. He's still at Stanford. And it turns out that actually, yes, these things have been shot down and crashed. And the U.S. government has the wreckage. And it's being held by defense contractors, Raytheon, Lockheed, which are big independent companies, but they work for the U.S. government. They're really part of the Department of Defense, but they're separate. So you keep the sunshine laws don't apply to them. You can't actually get information from them. It's a very tricky way to hide information. And they have the wreckage from these facts. But I'm like, really? Are we positive these aren't like advanced Russian or Chinese? No.
Is it more like the government or whatever is just this good at hiding it or people just don't care?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think it's too big for people to metabolize. Like if Prince Harry says something stupid, everyone's like, I can't believe Prince Harry. Because, like, that's manageable. You can, like, oh, this douchey fake prince with his stupid wife from Santa Monica. Like, I get that. But the idea that we're not alone in the universe and we're getting buzzed by these objects whose behavior defies physics, like, that just explodes too many categories in my head. I just can't deal with it. And I think that's part of it. But I'll tell you this, the most interesting from my perspective, it's, I don't know if it's a consensus, but a lot of people, serious people, not crazy people, who study this stuff, U.S. government employees seem to believe that these objects are coming from under the oceans. So the conventional view is they're coming in from outer space. There's not actually a lot of, you know, something enters the atmosphere, we can see it on satellite, and there's not any evidence of that, actually. Maybe it's happening, but we don't know that it is. There's a lot of evidence these things are coming out of the ocean, including video, of these objects coming out of the water at high speed, or even more amazing, descending at Mach 3 into the water. And then, of course, we have a huge submarine. Then we have a huge submarine fleet, American, but also Chinese and Russian, underwater with pretty sensitive measurement devices, sonar, et cetera. And they have recorded these objects doing hundreds of knots in the water. So like, let's just stop there.
Wait, what's knots?
It's 1.1 miles per hour. It's the way that we measure objects in the water.
Oh.
It's 1.1 miles. It's a little more than mile per hour. And a mile is a measurement that we use in the United States.
Right.
Distinct from a kilometer.
Still learning.
Which I think is
right. Yeah.
Common in Canada. But anyway, these things are moving at impossibly high speeds. So just like, let's just apply common sense for 1 second. If I take a 45 ACP, you know, a 45 caliber handgun and fire it at you underwater to say a swimming pool, 50 feet away, you can catch the bullet because the resistance is so strong from the water that objects can't move that fast underwater. We know that, but they are. And they're moving without any visible means of propulsion. So no wake, no bubbles.
Where have we, like, tracked that speed?
Wow.
And it was only in the past. But...
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to have to ask Tim Albarino to come on, and we're going to need to do a breakdown of this video. Let's talk about a few things. I recently interviewed a Harvard professor, Dr. Avi Loeb, who's one of the leading researchers in the world for searching for extraterrestrial life. And he says, because he is privately funded, that he actually has a greater scope. That means he can do more with his project because he doesn't have government red tape and limitations. Maybe so, hope so. But when I interviewed Professor Loeb, many of you saw it. Many of you didn't like it. And in a lot of ways, I didn't like it either. And none of that was rehearsed. None of that's coached. That was supposed to be a Doug and Dave Intel report. Dave had something else come up, so I had to solo it. And I just had my series of questions, and Dave had his, and we were supposed to bounce back and forth, but that didn't happen. So I just read off my like 7 or 8 questions and tried to make an hour out of it. And he was hostile in certain areas. And many of you have commented on that and seen that, especially when I started saying, hey, what about your buddy who was in Harvard who did, you know, what, almost 15 years, 20 years worth of research about abductions. And this tenured Harvard professor who works on multiple different fronts for the government, for defense contractors, all this stuff, said, oh, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. People aren't being abducted. But yet, when I said, hey, is that right? Well, what about all the Pentagon Papers coming out talking about abductions, talking about impregnations, discussing how the fetus, I hate using that term, but that's the term that they use, that the child, the unborn child, was stolen. Where's your explanation for that? Nothing. Bunch of people see a bunch of things and people are liars. That's more or less what he told me. And I didn't like that answer. That answer actually, quite honestly, made me very upset. Because I'm seeking for you the truth on matters that not many people are going to investigate or question people the way I believe that I do. I mean, what were we expecting, right? He's a Harvard professor. So here's Tucker, and unlike the Harvard professor, Tucker is popular. He has everything in the world going for him right now, especially since he's private, since he no longer belongs to Fox News. And Tucker can start to say things now that nobody else can. And when he puts out a statement like that, he knows that if he's lying, it's going to destroy his reputation, right? What Tucker Carlson said is true. The government does have crashed, either mechanically crashed or ballistically taken down UFOs. And so does Russia. Long time ago, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, I produced a document that was from the KGB in Ukraine, in Kiev. I believe this was in the 80s, 90s, when they said that they had taken down a UFO with small arms fire. And then their men had been attacked and vaporized by gray aliens. I don't know if it's true. Right. The problem with when you collect data and you're trying to just piece together a picture is that you're going to get a lot of things that don't make sense. And it's up for the trained eye to say, OK, this sounds like this fact over here. This sounds like that fact over here. And once you've picked the fish of all the bones, you got this big blubbery mass of meat, which is called made up bullshit. And you got a few bones over here. And sometimes the simple facts of a case is not sexy enough. So what people have to do is they have to inflate facts. They have to blow things out of proportions. Quite a bit of people that you guys are subscribed to, most likely, that blow things out of proportion, and it makes quite a bit of money. So I don't do that because I don't make any money doing this. So, you know, I mean, the only thing I can tank is my reputation. And I'm kind of like Tucker Carlson on this one. I have no links on the chain to anybody. I'm just a junkyard dog running around, right? And I love the fact that Tucker came out and gave us this little 5 minute nugget of truth. Because when they talk about defense contractors, Boeing, Lockheed, Raytheon, I mean, Lockheed's 25 miles east to me, and we see flyovers all the time, sometimes of craft that we have no idea what it is. It could just be because the altitude or the illumination of the vehicles that they're using, but that's another story. But what I find interesting is that he said, you know, we had this doctor come, a Harvard doctor. Has anyone else noticed Harvard is one of the main contributors of investigating this phenomena? This guy that Tucker references is investigating the traumatic brain injury portion for veterans that have dealt with these cases with the UFOs, over 100 of them, in court cases right now. He says that he's an expert witness for. Okay. And then you have Harvard professor of science, Avi Loeb. He's working on the extrasolar portion of it, of what's happening out in the solar system. And then you have the name escapes me right now, but you have the other doctor who was the one that was doing all the abduction research. So Harvard gets pinned for quite a bit of things with the UFO phenomena. So for anyone out there who's in Harvard, if you know anything about this, and you just want to drop a few lines here or there, email me. I don't disclose names or positions or anything like that. We're just looking for the thread that leads us to the eventual ball of yarn that is the truth. The problem is that in between, well, as you follow this long stretch of yarn, there's different little hands pulling on it. So as you begin to research, for any of you who are actual amateur researchers or private investigators, as you're following that linear path of evidence, right? As you're on the trail, as our friend LA likes to say a lot, you'll find that there's many hands pulling your string, and you have to deviate your process of investigation. And then you have to say, okay, here's my straight and narrow path. And now I got to go over here. I got to talk to this guy. I got to vet his information. And then I got to talk to some other people. Sometimes I have to backtrack to go and find out if their information is true, faulty, if it lines up with what I'm being told or not. And the path continues to meander. And that ball of yarn continues to be unspun. And that line just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And it feels like you never come to the end of this truth. And that's because the great deception right now is from the government. Regardless if you think it's satanic, regardless if you think extraterrestrials are real, I really don't care. As an investigator, I'm just trying to follow the process of the investigation and let the evidence lead me to the eventuality of whatever in the hell this phenomena is, because I think it's fair enough to call it a phenomena. That is what it is. It is a phenomena. However, and you know, I know some guys in the ufology field, and I don't tap them for a lot of this stuff, because I've noticed the path of many ufologists are askewed, and I have no idea where this came from or why this is, but many of them are into the ancient astrology stuff, the ancient astronaut stuff, and that these are our star brothers or star fathers, and they're coming here with benevolence to save us. And thus far, I cannot find any substantial proof of any of that. What I get is a lot of hyperbolic, I dreamed this, I envisioned that, something spoke into my mind, and now I have a word for the rest of humankind. Well, that's good, that's great and all, but I can't use that in court, which is you. All right. Every time I produce something to you, I produce you with the facts of stuff that I can look up, I can find, I can vet, because I approach this as if it would be a criminal case, and you're my jury. Okay. God's my judge. You're my jury. I'm not going to tell you what the outcome is. That's for you to decide. Are aliens real? Are they demons? Are they hybrids? Is everybody just making this shit up at this point to make a lot of money? Or is there something tangible? Is there something nefarious about this? If Tucker says that since 1940s, the government has been documenting and has pushed this documentation all the way up until present day, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that that is accurate. Since prior Roswell, we have been documenting unidentified flying objects. Now, when you stop there and you listen to some famous podcasters, radio hosts, guys who write books and make movies, and guys who just tell stories, even if it's very entertaining, most of it is subjective, not objective. Most of it is conjecture. Most of it is hearsay, and you can't prove anything that they say. So I as an investigator, I take it all in, I process it, and I say, I'm going to store it over here. And what I do when I hear all these intangible stories, things that you just can't find any physical reality to grab onto, I just say, okay, I'm going to write that down. And if I ever hear something that's similar, I can go back to my notes and say, I've heard this before. But then I don't still take what that person said and what this person said as fact just because I found two anomalies that are similar. I then try to ask, well, where did you hear it from? And many times, all right, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but many times what I'll hear is, well, I heard this spontaneous statement. I made a similar spontaneous statement to you. You asked me, where did you hear this spontaneous statement about Antarctica, about Germany, about the flat earth or the hollow earth or the Pleiades or all this crap? And they say, oh, well, I heard it from this person. So you're just parroting information you've heard. And you say, because you trust the source, that it's got to be true. Guys, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of fakery. A lot of it. I know some of the guys on the inside. I know the guys who are full of shit. And I know the guys who are searching for the truth. And I know the guys in between, who don't mean to be misleading, but they are careless in their research, and they take anecdotal conversation and somehow or another it mashes up in their mind with thoughts that they've already had, preconceived thoughts about aliens and UFOs and demons, and they go, oh, well, now that it's all mixed up in my margarita machine, I'll just drink it all as one thing, and I'll make that make sense. I know I'm speaking hyperbolically. Look, I don't get paid by anybody. I don't have movies, okay? I don't have books. Doug does a few things. I teach a active shooter course that 99% of people don't want to take, because there's sweat involved and effort involved, and people don't want to be trained for whatever reason. But that's it. I get no outside influence, money, to speak about other people's stuff. So, like, when I have Timothy Alberino on quite a bit, it's because Tim is not full of shit. Tim is an actual researcher who's taking in and compartmentalizing and putting his own spin on stuff sometimes, but that's his way of investigating and putting together in his mind the phenomena that we talk about with UFOs, with aliens, and the government conspiracies. There are some other guys who are very famous, very well known, who will just throw a spontaneous statement out there and just say, because of my reputation, you have to believe me, and if you don't, well, you're not a Christian, and you're probably living a life of sin, and blah, 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 blah. And that's fear. That's just fear-based, and I hate listening to that. Because I like to have intellectual conversations with people. If anything, I like to have arguments. I'm very argumentative because I love the process of arguments. That's the old-school Senate, I guess, Roman Senate-style politics that I'm into. I enjoy interrogative conversations where we're always asking questions back and forth and we're challenging one another. The problem is in this industry, when you start to talk to experts, a lot of them cannot back it up with investigations in the field that they've done, with one-on-one interviews that they've done, with witness statements or victims, because they don't leave their office. They read stuff on the internet and they go, huh, that'll be a cool thing for people to understand or to make a book about or a DVD about. And the UFO guys, man, the UFO guys that are on the History Channel are some of the worst at it. They go to any, you know, megalithic monument and they'll go, aliens. You know, who built the pyramids? Aliens had to have done it. Who put Sacsayhuama together? All the blocks must have been aliens. But they can't prove it. There's no proof of it all. There's more proof based off of the biblical narrative. LA is really starting to, I guess, weigh in on me every now and then when I say stuff like this. But he's right. Just like Steve Quayle, LA, these guys are right when they say that. There's more evidence within the biblical narrative of interference from giants, the Nephilim, whatever you, the Raphaim, the Nephilim, whatever you want to call them, the giants, the watchers, the fallen angels. There is something supernatural about these places around the world. And a lot of them have occult ties into it, which we're going to get to here once we start talking about cattle mutilation. If no one knows this, my family, we are a victim of cattle mutilation. Super weird. I got no explanation for you. I was raised as a tracker, tracking animals. I grew up wild and in the woods. And I don't mean like I was a kid who lived in the suburbs and occasionally I played in the woods behind the suburbs. Like I grew up out in the piney woods of Southeast Texas on 4,000 acres. And like I lived in the woods constantly hunting and tracking and all that cool stuff. And so I know when I'm looking at animal footprints, what I'm looking at. But with my own little case, sometimes I lean more towards satanic occultism than I do UFOs. When I talk to guys, experts, ufology experts on this, they say, oh, no, that's definitely an alien spacecraft flew over, stopped time. They had like a little, you know, like the little arcade claw machine thing. You know, you spend, you know, $500 to pick up like one little squishy toy, and it comes down there and it picks up one of my cows and sucks it up. And then they got like a chef up there who carves it up, sends it back down. Time starts back up again. The damn thing flies off. And then Doug comes out there and is freaked out. Right. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. Because cattle mutilations, at least here in America, have become so well documented, even up into the 1970s, that Congress had to have an intervention on behalf of the Cattlemen's Association of America, which my family is involved in, the Cattlemen's Association of America. Because there are so many of these abductions for about 7 years, maybe a little more, that it flipped people out. Because I mean, that's a lot of money with a cow. You're feeding it. Sometimes people are giving it hormones and all this other stuff and vet bills. And all the maintenance for all the equipment that it takes to keep a cow up and going. And then when you know you have a couple dead cows and the meat's ruined and you can't sell it because you know it cut this up or it cut that part off. That's very economically detrimental to people. There's never been an explanation, even within the FBI vault. I have some of the documents pulled up. It's very hard to read it, though. Even within the FBI vault, you can find the documentations talking about mass cattle mutilation. I think we're looking at a series of different events here that are similar. And because they're so similar, they can be disguised as one another. Okay. Let's just say, to make everything easier, that UFOs are real. Angels and demons disguise themselves as aliens. And they're the ones that are picking up everything and carving up everything and abducting people. Okay. Well, the U.S. government has been doing that as well. I have some documentation that I'm still vetting before I say anything else. But there is stuff out there. There's chains of evidence, okay, which is what I like to do. I don't want to take some random guy's conversation from a podcast and say, oh, look, evidence, because this douchebag said it. I don't care about that. I want to see government white papers documented, tea time and date stamped, the funding code for whatever the project was. Like, I'm trying to find everything for these documents. That's why I get into so heavily with the CIA stuff on Mockingbird and on MKUltra, which I think I'm starting to get a little bit of popularity now because I talk about MKUltra so much. And MKUltra is undeniable at this point. There's so many different mind control things. And, you know, as I look into this and as I research into this, I become more baffled, if anything, because the U.S. government hangs on to so much proprietary evidence about these cases and about these events, these incidents where people will, you know, they'll be flying their own professional aircraft or private aircraft, like, you know, an airline pilot. And here comes a glowing orb, okay, a glowing orb, and they will have some sort of a radiation burn, irritation of the skin. They'll have irritation of the eyes, inflammation of the eyes. Okay, that is exposure to radiation. Or they will have headaches. There's another thing, exposure to radiation. Nausea, exposure to radiation. Okay, so one of the things I always found interesting is that they can never fully tell within the documents from what the investigators are writing down, at least, if they're actually vetting out to get this information. Or if they decided not to even write it down, because that happens too. You can be talking to investigators and they only write down the part that they want to write down. Leave some details out. Yeah, that stuff happens. But they can't say, you know, oh, this is a real vessel. You know, the Tic Tac video. It's not in the shape of a Tic Tac. Okay. It's not this little iPod Air device that's flying around at Mach 3, Mach 4. It has angles to it. Even if you can't see propulsion, I've read too many documents so far from pilots who will say that it was in an oblong shape, like my little glasses case right here. So it would be rectangular. They have been in a spherical shape. They have been in pill shape. They've been in these weird top-looking shapes before. But when the government puts out the paper, they won't describe what the shape of the vehicles is. And that's from some of the documents I have so far, from some of the latest things that's been put out. That's one of the things that I find to be frustrating, because it's not hard to interview somebody and say, okay, tell me the story again. What happened? Because that's what every investigator, the third or fourth investigator you speak to, is going to say the same thing. Okay, start back from the beginning. You're flying in your G7, all right? And then you see a bright light. What happens next? And sometimes they'll say, well, I saw this bright light, and it was making these erratic maneuvers. It was flying above the aircraft, below the aircraft, in front of the aircraft, coming back towards me, making maneuvers that are against the laws of physics. And then other times, the guys will say, yeah, I saw a bright object, flew by. It was like the size of the moon. Come on, guys. I've read these documents, okay? What I think you have is some fabrication of bullshit, and some people are trying to make up things to mislead us and to make other people sound crazy. Because If you go back to World War II, when you hear, or I guess you could say you listen to the reports from the pilots, the fighter pilots, both from Germany and from the Brits and the Americans, they all saw these Foo Fighters. And all of them reported the same thing. Bright, shiny light, metallic object, flying at speeds that we cannot even match. They then could give me, it's a metallic object. All right. Because what some people will now go into this path of, well, it was an angel. And that's why it was so bright. And that's why it didn't have a shape. It's not an angel, guys. I my personal opinion, you can believe what you want. From what I'm gathering from the evidence, it's not an angel. It's something else. It is nefarious. It is not benevolent. And not only that, but there's too many different cases of nuts and bolts aircraft that have been either recovered, shot down, photographed, taken pictures by satellites, if you even think satellites were a real thing or not. We have documented them on the ISS space station. You know, if you even believe that is real. There's other stories, like when you get into Admiral Byrd. And I did a huge, like, week and a half long study of Admiral Byrd. And there are parts in there that make a lot of sense. I've seen some of the old film. I think it's a 30mm film. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense of the things that were saw or were being seen there and documented there. And then right after his death, you have some of these other things from his journal, quote, journal that comes out. And he went into the Hollow Earth and he spoke to Satan and he saw all these cities and the Nazis were there and all this stuff. And the problem with that is that you can't prove it, but it makes such an exceptional story. Here's the key to what I'm telling you. Vet people out when you hear this. When things make such an exceptional story that you can't prove it without a shadow of doubt, you cannot prove it, but the story just grows, you know, with more veracity, becomes stranger and the phenomena increases. Test the spirits on that, because most of the time, from what I have been finding, they're lying. The government does have documents. The government does have proof. Tucker knows it. Me and Dave Hodges know people who know it. Now, don't believe us. That's fine, right? That's how I feel about almost everybody who speaks about this, because nobody knows the real truth. And that's part of compartmentalization. It's like Bob Lazar. You know, Bob Lazar worked on the anti-gravity machine and actually found the missing element to it. And you know, to this day, he'll tell you, I only know this part that I was compartmentalized on. I do not know what the guy across from me was working on, and I don't know what the guy over here was working on. Compartmentalization sucks. I've been a part of it. But, you know, I think more truth is going to come out about this, but I think there's a reason why. The reason why is that the more this conflict grows with nuclear talks, nuclear threats, the more this escalation of war happens, it seems like the probability of a alien intervention, and I hate to even say that word. I don't like even thinking of it because, for one thing, most people are dumb. And most people are easily fooled, even just by a little bit of trickery and wordsmanship. But when you hear, you know, people within the, quote, dark government, people that are, you know, five-star generals and all this other, you know, stuff that you can't vet, some stuff that's just completely made up, it makes me think that that's where the nefariousness part is. It lies in the narrative. The narrative is connecting to the next event. Is that next event a staged UFO crash for all eyes to see? Is that next event a visit of the fourth kind? Who knows, man? All I can tell you is test the spirits. Don't believe three quarters of the people you listen to. All right, real quick, by the numbers, let's go through with this. Texas authorities investigate mysterious cases of dead mutilated cows. Austin, Texas. Mysterious cases of dead mutilated cattle along a Texas highway have left authorities puzzled. The Madison County Sheriff's Office said last week that its deputies were investigating the death of a six-year-old Longhorn Cross cow on a ranch when five other similar occurrences were reported along the area of Texas State Highway, OSR, near the eastern city of College Station, spanning from Madison, Brazos, and Robertson counties. Which, that is south of me from where I'm at. Each incident occurred in different locations, pastures, and herds. The sheriff's office wrote in a Facebook post on April 19th, multiple similar incidents have been reported across the United States, and we are actively coordinating with other agencies to find answers. Okay, so real quick, before we go any further with this, today is May 1st, May Day. April 30th was a major satanic ritual holiday. I think it's called Walpurgis. I'll throw up the information here. And, okay, so I think that the tie-in here, because this is what doesn't make sense as I read about this, from the evidence I've been able to gather from like the 70s, is that cattle mutilation typically happens to one cow, sometimes multiple cows within the same herd, within the same area, not going from one ranch to another ranch to a little farm to over here to over there, especially if that's a linear path of movement, like when you get with the coroners, or you get a veterinarian out there who understands bovine and cattle, and they do a carcass evaluation. You should be able to have a measurement extent, possibly, of when a cow died, how long it's been deteriorating, compared to this one, and to that one, and to this one, and to that one. Because if it started at point A down the road, and the final destination, the last cow that was killed, the sixth or seventh cow, is over here at point G, right, or F, well, what you want to do is, as you're taking your evidence, you're writing down everything that you're seeing, you're making a little crime scene of everything. All right, that's if this is done correctly. Most ufologists, from what I've seen so far, and I've actually talked to a few of them, and I've asked how they do their procedures with gathering evidence, they got about that much training. And these are our experts. That's why I said, don't believe everything that you hear, because a lot of people are not doing this correctly. The process is very simple. And so as I'm trying to put this together in my mind, because of the date, because this happened a week ago, April 24th is when it was reported. What I think happened is a cult, because within this area of Texas, there's some cults out there, okay? Hell, in the area that I'm at, there's like 13 witches covens. It's unreal. Lord rebuke you all. But what I think happened is you have the strange occurrence of satanic rituals. And what they did is they take the tongues, they take the eyes, they take the ears, they take the genitalia. All right. All this is parts that are to be used in satanic occultic rituals. And I'm going to be covering that actually here pretty soon with a book that we're going to be reading. I believe it's called Satan Hunter. I got it somewhere in this huge room of mine. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read from front to back of a guy who was law enforcement, who investigated satanic rituals and documented them. It's pretty dark at times, guys, but that guy has probably the best book that I think so far, based off my professional experience, that lifts the veil of the occult and their rituals. Now, a lot of that, once again, can be applied to stuff like this, these mutilation cases. The easiest thing to do is to say it's an alien, because you can't prove it. The easiest thing to say is that it's a UFO, because you can't prove it. And then you just say, well, the government's got all this information on UFOs. But what they don't ever want you to do is they don't ever want you to go, oh, no, they're on to our occultism. Oh, no, they're on to the satanic canker sore that is within your city or your county, because they're in every city, in every county in America. What they don't want you to do is they don't want you to catch on to what they're doing. If you be careful when you do stuff like this, by the way, if you research and download satanic occult calendars so you can see what is happening on what days and for what reason and what the rituals are, the human sacrifices, the blood sacrifices, the mass sex orgies and the rapes and the kidnappings, a lot of things start to make more sense to you. But some of you may not be ready for that type of information, so just hear me out on that. So anyways, because there's not a lot of information on what happened to these six cows, and this is the part where it kind of gets spooky, but I kind of understand it. All right, so the six-year-old cow was found dead, lying on one side with a straight, clean cut with apparent precision, removing the hide around the exposed side of the mouth, along the jaw, according to the sheriff's office. And there's a lot of different pictures, evidential pictures, that prove exactly what this is saying, and that the animal's tongue was completely removed. They use that in a lot of occultic rituals, the tongue, power of voice and talking and all this other crap. Five other cows, though. Jesus, here I am with my glasses. Five other cows, four adults and one yearling, were found in the same condition, except two also had circular cuts made with the same precision to remove external organs, according to the sheriff's office. What's an external organ? Okay. An external organ would be the eyeball, the nose, the ear. Most likely it was the ear. Okay. Listening, speaking, seeing. All these things are used in occultism. All right. The sheriff's office says that there was no blood spills or signs of struggle. So I had the same thing when I did my own investigation. And then I had the sheriff's department come out, and then I had my veterinarian come out, do a carcass evaluation. We did a full-blown carcass evaluation. The only thing we did not do was a toxicology test, and I kicked myself in the ass for not doing that. There are some things that you can dart an animal with, even one the size of a cow, and you can kill it within a minute. You can kill it within, you know, 2 minutes or maybe less. And because it's a dart, it's quiet, blown from an air gun, all right? No one's out there like Zulu warriors with freaking, you know, blow dart guns. This is coming from an air gun, a compressed air gun. And you hit the animal right in the hind corner, drop it, come out there, take the dart, and now you never know. You have no idea what happened. Because I know when I did my carcass evaluation, and I'll show some of the pictures once again of what I had to deal with in my own back pasture. You know, studying from the carotid arteries to the head, all the way down from the femoral arteries, the spine, the brachial arteries, there was no lacerations. There's no abrasions. There's no bumps. There's no bruises. There's no fractures. No, and, you know, I couldn't tell that if anything was internally fractured because rigor mortis had set in. But from the outside, I couldn't see any fractures. There's no wound to the head. There's no blood coming from the nose. No blood in the mouth. So, you know, the animal was not taken down by another animal. There's no scratches. There's no bite marks. There's no puncture wounds. But our animal, just like their animal, and just like almost every other cattle mutilation, was completely exsanguinated. So there's no blood. There's no signs of struggle. I walked all around. I took different shots of different photos with lights both during the day and at night to see if there was any animal footprints or human footprints. And in the area that I was at, I couldn't see anything. And I know what a human footprint was, and I know what an animal footprint is. So, you know, it's interesting. It's spooky because your mind goes into two places. Okay, if it's aliens, well, you know, I can't really do anything about aliens because aliens, they can capture your mind, and it doesn't matter how many guns and alarms, because the aliens have an answer for everything. My house is surrounded by livestock guard dogs, both exterior and interior, because that's my alarm system. Good luck getting past like 7 or 8 dogs. But the aliens can sneak by them, okay? Well, we have alarms. We have cameras. Well, the aliens can stop it. Okay, well, I'm very light at sleeping, and so is my wife. Oh, no. Oh, the aliens, they can get in there, and they can just put your mind right at ease. Just walk right up on you. So when I hear stuff like this, in my mind, I go, okay, we're starting to no longer speak about physics. And unless they're employing some sort of a gas that knocks everybody out, and then they are miraging themselves, and the passive infrared sensors aren't seeing them, you know, they're not opening the door, so the door contacts aren't being engaged. All right, the cameras aren't picking them up, even though there's color, there's night vision. All right, there's a lot of anomalies here that we're talking about that you don't have explanations for. So either it's a demonic entity, or there's technology that we just don't have any explanation for, and neither do these so-called experts. And I challenge Timothy Alberino on that all the time. Like, prove more of what you're saying. The problem really comes down to is how much of this can we prove? And all we can get for the most part is, you know, witness testimony, which sometimes people, like what Avi Loeb said, professor of Harvard, sometimes people just lie to garner attention and to get money. And sometimes your witness testimony can tilt a court case and confine someone to execution. So which is it when it comes to witness testimony? I'll let you decide on that. All right. So the grass around all these deceased cows were undisturbed. There was no noticeable footprints or tire tracks in the area. And neither predators nor birds scavenged the remains, leaving the bodies to decay untouched for several weeks. Okay. So, when this incident happened in our back pasture, I called Steve Quayle, who's a good friend of mine, and I said, Steve, this is what happened. This is what I got. What do I do? I'm just I work for the federal government, right? I'm just an average guy. So I don't know anything about any of this stuff. And he told me, set up my game camera, because I'm a redneck and I hunt, so I have game cameras. He said, set up a game camera on that cow, and I'll put it out near the back creek. Nothing messed with that carcass for 2 or 3 months. I still, most of the the bones are still laying right where it is. And we have, I've documented 3 or 4 different packs of coyotes. I mean, anywhere from 10 to 20 in a pack. So at least, you know, as they rove, probably 40 to 50 different coyotes within this area, depending on the different dens, because they all talk to each other. Nothing scavenged it. Skinwalker Ranch documented the same thing. Nothing scavenged it. And there's no explanation for that. Strange. We're going to save a lot of this for tomorrow, and we're going to continue to talk about some of the other evidence that I found with the alien phenomena and all this other stuff. But for right now, I wanted to cover the cattle mutilation. And like I said, I got other stuff on cattle mutilation. We'll hit that up tomorrow. Final words for everybody. In June, okay, final words for everybody. In the weekend of June, so that's going to be the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, we're going to have the active shooter awareness and reaction course that's going to be going on at Ready Made Resources. It's in Tennessee, Teleco Plains, Tennessee. Go to readymaderesources.com and you can sign up from there. I have the general information on my website, but it's not updated, so please either call Bob Griswold and sign up through his store, or go to his online store and you can sign up that way. It's $850. $50 goes to Bob Griswold. That's for all the using the generators and using the facilities, and then $800 gets split between me and Steve Reyes, my guest instructor. Now, what we're going to be doing out there is going to be 3 days, like 30 hours worth of training, guys. You're coming to train. You're not coming to, you know, goof around or anything. We're going to be doing simulations. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. We're going to be doing some cool tactical stuff from the morning to the afternoon before lunch. You're going to be doing tactics with me. And then when you come back, you're going to be doing medical with Steve. And that's going to be basic to advanced stuff. And then we're going to break for dinner. We're going to come back, and then we're going to have SEER training, survival and evasion training. And we're going to be kind of particular on what we're covering. And then we're going to go into nighttime training. So if you want to be trained for whatever in the heck it is that the future of America holds, be it we're getting invaded, or we're going to have a civil war, or, you know, the government's going to try and come and take all of our guns, who knows? But I promise you, most of you out there are not trained to the standard to protect yourself or to protect your family. And we're giving it to you at the cheapest cost that we can. We're really not making much money after you pay for, you know, all the equipment that we're bringing in and all the other stuff. You know, we're doing this just mainly because we want the body of Christ to be prepared. So if you do want to help fund us, if you want to spend some time with us, you know, sharpening a little bit of iron, then I ask you, please come out to Ready Made Resources on the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. What you'll probably need to do is get there on a Thursday and leave on the Monday. So that would really be from the 20th to the 24th. Teleco Plains is a gorgeous area. If you want to have a summer vacation, real low profile on a beautiful stretch of a river, I mean, it's definitely a place where I would love to have a little cabin at. Then, you know, take an extra day or two, or, you know, bring the family up for a week, rent a cabin. They have cabins all around this area, anywhere between, we found them from $60 to like $150 a night. That's cheaper than most hotel rooms you'll find. Rent you a cabin, have some fun out there. Get some good training, learn skills that can save your life, that can save your family, not just from the tactics, but also from the medical, and also skills that may help you get out of a scenario that we may one day be in. Pray to God I'm wrong. I really do. All right, guys, That's all I got. Sorry, it's been a couple of days since I came on and talked to anybody. I'm back, and I got quite a few things lined up for you. Love you all. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.